Just doing the whole gun show thing to annoy me. Probably both. I find Six sitting in the penthouse's spacious living room. Her legs are tucked underneath her on a plush white couch, a cup of coffee cradled in her hands. We haven't talked much since coming back from New Mexico. I'm still not totally comfortable being around her and Sarah at the same time. I think Six might feel the same, because I definitely get the sense that she's avoiding me. Six looks up when I enter, her eyes half opened and drowsy. She looks as tired as I feel. "Hey," I say. "How was she last night?" Six shakes her head.
"She was up all night. She's just now getting some good rest."
Add Ella's nightmares to the list of problems we need to deal with. They've been a nightly thing ever since we left New Mexico. So bad that Six and Marina have been alternating sleeping in her room, trying to make sure she doesn't get too freaked out. I lower my voice.
"Does she tell you what she sees?"
"Bits and pieces," Six says. "She hasn't been real talkative, you know?"
Before New Mexico, Nine and I had visions that seemed a lot like nightmares. I say, trying to think this through.
"Eight mentioned something similar.
At first, we thought they were Cetricus Ra taunting us somehow. But they also seemed like some kind of warning. At least, that's how I thought of them. Maybe we should try figuring out what Ella's mean."
"Sure. I guess they could be some coded message,"
Six says dryly.
"But have you considered there's a simpler explanation?"
"Like what?" Six rolls her eyes.
"Like, she's a kid, John. Her Sapan just died. She was almost killed herself just a couple of days ago. And who knows what's in store for her next? Hell, I'm surprised we don't all have nightmares every freaking night."
There's a comforting thought.
"These aren't real comforting times."
Before I can reply, Eight appears on the couch next to Six. She jumps, nearly spilling her coffee, and immediately fixes Eight with a steely glare. Eight puts his hands up defensively.
"Whoa, sorry," he says. "Don't kill me." "You have got to stop doing that,"
Six replies, setting down her coffee. Eight is dressed in workout clothes, his curly hair shoved underneath a fuzzy sweatband. He nods to me, then aims his most disarming smile at Six.
"Come on," Eight says. "You can take it out on me in the lecture hall."
Six stands up, pleased by the idea.
"I'm going to pummel you."
"What are you guys working on?" I ask.
"Hand to hand,"
answers Eight.
"I figured since Six pretty much murdered me back in New Mexico." "For the last time, that was not me,"
Six interrupts, annoyed.
"The least she could do is show me some new moves so I can defend myself the next time she attacks."
Six tries to punch Eight in the arm, but he quickly teleports behind the couch.
"See?" Eight grins. "I'm already too quick for you."
Six bounds over the couch after him, and Eight sprints off towards the lecture hall. Before giving chase, Six looks back at me.
"Maybe you should try talking to Ella,"
Six says.
"Me?" "Yeah," she replies. "Maybe you can decide if her visions mean something, or if she's just traumatized."
As soon as Six leaves the room, there's a heavy thud on the floor behind me. I turn around to find Nine grinning at me, shirtless, just like Sarah said he'd be, gripping a sketch pad in his meaty hands. I glance up at the ceiling. "How long were you standing up there?" Nine shrugs.
"I do my best thinking upside down, dude."
"I didn't realize you did any thinking."
"Okay, fair point. You usually do enough thinking for all of us."
He thrusts the sketch pad at me.
"But check this out."
I take the sketch pad and start thumbing through the pages. They're covered with floor plans drawn in Nine's precise hand. It's like the architecture of some military base, yet it looks strangely familiar. Is this?
West Virginia, Nine declares proudly. Every detail I can remember. This should come in handy when we make our assault on the place. I'm sure it's where that fat jerk-off Cetricus is hiding out.
I sit down on the couch,
tossing the sketch pad on the cushion next to me. When I wanted to attack the cave, you were totally against it.
That was after you'd run into a force field like a dummy, he replies. I said we needed numbers. We've got numbers.
Speaking of which, did you check the tablet this morning? Nine nods.
Five staying put for now.
We've been keeping an eye on our locator tablet since returning to Chicago. Five, the one guard we haven't made contact with, has been on an island off the coast of Florida for the last few days. Before we left for New Mexico, he was in Jamaica. His moving around is standard Lorik on-the-run protocol. Finding him, even with the tablet to point us in the right direction, might not be easy. Now that we've had a chance to rest up, I think we should make it a priority. The more of us, the better, right?
And maybe, while we're searching for Five, Cetricus Raw mounts a full-scale invasion of Earth.
Nine slaps the front of his sketch pad for emphasis.
We've got him on the run. We should finish it off now.
On the run? I ask, staring at Nine. That's not exactly how I remember it.
What? He did retreat, didn't he?
I shake my head. You think you're ready for a rematch?
You tell me.
Nine curls one of his arms behind him and juts the other one out overhead. A bodybuilder pose. I can't help but laugh.
I'm sure he'll be intimidated by flexing. It's more intimidating than sitting around, anyway,
counters Nine as he flops down on the couch next to me.
You really think we should go storming West Virginia after the beating we took at Dulce?
Nine looks down at his fists, clenching and unclenching them. Probably remembering how close he came to being finished off by Cetricus. How close we all came.
I don't know,
he says after a pause.
I just wanted to give this to you so you know it's an option, all right? You might not think I'm, like, capable of learning my limitations and shit like that, but back in New Mexico, I was maybe just slightly over my head trying to fight Cetricus alone. Six went off on her own too, Eight got wrecked, and everyone else was getting shot up. But you kept it together, man. You kept us together. Everyone knows it. I still don't buy your bullshit about being Pittacus reincarnated or whatever. You've got that team captain vibe. So, you do the leading and I'll do the ass kicking. It's what we're best at.
Best? I don't know. Six is pretty good at ass-kicking, too. Nine snorts.
Yeah, she was super badass in her freaking ceiling cocoon. That's not the point, Johnny. The point is, I need you to tell me what to punch. And I need you to tell me soon, or I'm gonna go stir-crazy up in here.
I take another look at Nine's sketchpad. From the look of it, he probably got right to work on these drawings as soon as we returned from New Mexico. For all his bluster, at least he's been trying his best to come up with a way to take the fight to the Mogadorians. Meanwhile, I've been stuck in this rut, unable to sleep, thinking myself in circles alone on the rooftop. I wish Henri was here, I say. Or Sander. Any of the Sapons, really. Someone that could tell us what to do next.
Yeah, well, they're dead, replies Nine bluntly. It's up to us now, and you're always the one with the ideas. Hell, The last time I wouldn't go along with your plan, I almost had to throw you off a roof.
I'm not a Saipan.
No, but you're a freaking know-it-all.
Nine pats me hard on the back, which I've come to realize is as close as he gets to real affection.
Quit whining. Cut down on the snuggling with your little human girlfriend and come up with some brilliant plan.
A week ago, I would have bristled at Nine calling me a whiner and needling me about Sarah. Now, I know he's just trying to motivate me. This is his version of a pep talk, and embarrassing as it is, I sort of need to hear it. What if I just don't have a plan? I ask quietly.
That, John Boy, is simply not an option.
Chapter 6. I'm back on the roof of the John Hancock Center. This time, I'm not alone. We don't have to talk about it if you aren't ready, I say gently, looking at the huddled form sitting Indian style on the roof next to me. Ella has a blanket wrapped around her shoulders, even though it isn't that cold on the roof. Somehow, she looks smaller than usual, and I wonder if stress is causing her to revert back to a younger age. Beneath the blanket, she's wearing one of Nine's old flannel shirts. It comes all the way down to her knees. Lately, it seems like the only time she's able to sleep peacefully is in the afternoons. She probably wouldn't have even gotten out of bed at all today if Marina hadn't gently prodded her to come up here and talk with me.
I'll try, she says, her voice hard to hear above the wind. Marina said you might be able to help.
Thanks, Marina, I think. I've barely spoken to Ella one-on-one since we first met in New Mexico. I guess this is a good opportunity to get to know her better. Although I wish it was under better circumstances. I badly want to help her. I'm just not sure I know how. I'm hardly an expert on these visions or a psychiatrist, if that's what she needs. This is the kind of talk that would normally be left to a Saipan, but like Nine reminded me earlier, we're all out of those. I try to sound confident. Marina's right. I've had dreams before.
Dreams about him?
Ella asks. And by the way her voice drops, there can be no doubt who she's talking about. Yeah, I reply. That ugly freak has spent so much time in my head, I should be charging him rent. Ella smiles a little. She stands up, kicking some loose gravel across the roof. Tentatively, I put my hand on her shoulder. She sighs, almost like it's a relief.
It always starts the same way, Ella begins. We're back at that base, fighting Cetricus and his minions. We're, you know, losing.
I nod. Yeah, I remember that part.
I pick up a piece of metal from the floor. I don't know what it is exactly. A broken piece of a sword, maybe. When I touch it, it starts glowing in my hand.
Wait, I say, trying to piece this part together. Is that what happened? Or is this just in the dream?
That's what happened, she says. I was scared and just grabbed the first thing I could. My big plan was to just chuck stuff at him until he stopped hitting Nine.
From where I was standing, it looked like some kind of dart, I say, remembering the fight, all the smoke and chaos. A glowing dart. I thought it was something you got from your chest.
I never had a chest,
Ella replies sullenly.
I guess they forgot to pack me one.
Ella, do you know what I think? I'm trying to be comforting, but the excitement is hard to keep out of my voice. I think you developed a new legacy back there, and we were all too panicked to realize it. Ella looks down at her hands.
I don't get it.
I pick up a handful of the loose stones from the roof and hold them out to her. I think you did something to that broken piece of sword. And when you hit Cetricus raw with it, you hurt him.
Oh?
She replies, not sounding at all thrilled. Do you think you could do it again? I hold the stones out towards her.
I don't want to,
she answers sharply.
It felt wrong somehow.
You were just scared. I start trying to encourage her, but when she takes a step away from me, I realize I've made a mistake. She's still shaken up by the fight, these dreams, her legacies. I let the stones drop back to the roof.
We all were.
It's okay. We can worry about that later. Finish telling me about the dreams. She's quiet for a moment, and I think maybe she's withdrawing completely. But after a moment, she starts again.
I throw the piece of metal at him, she says, and it sticks inside him, just like at the base. Except, in my dream, instead of retreating, Cetricus turns to face me. Everyone else, all of you guys, disappear. And it's just me and him alone in that smoky room.
Ella wraps her arms around herself, shivering.
He pulls the dart out and he smiles at me. Smiles at me with those horrible teeth. I'm stuck standing there like an idiot while he walks over and touches my face. Like caresses it with the back of his hand. His touch is ice cold. And then he talks to me.
I feel like shivering too, actually. The thought of Cetricus Ra strolling up to Ella and putting his disgusting hand on her, it turns my stomach. What does he say? I ask. She pauses, lowering her voice.
He says, there you are. And then, I've been looking for you.
And then what happens?
He gets down on his knees.
Her voice drops to a chilled whisper.
He holds one of my hands in both of his, and he asks me if I've read the letter.
What letter?
Do you know what he's talking about?
Ella hunches the blanket tighter around her shoulders, not looking at me.
No.
I can tell by the way she answers that Ella isn't being totally honest. There's something about this letter, whatever it might be, that's shaken her up almost as much as these visions of Cetricus Ra. From her description, I don't know if these dreams are like the ones I've had. Like the one where Cetricus showed me Sam being tortured to try baiting me into fighting him. Or if it's like Six suggested, that these nightmares are simply a result of all the really awful things Ella's been through lately. I don't want to press her any further. She already seems close to tears.
I wish I could tell you I could make the dreams go away.
I begin, finding myself doing my best Henri impression. But I can't. I don't know what causes them. I only know how painful they can be. Ella nods, looking disappointed.
Okay.
If you see him in a dream again, just remember, he can't hurt you. And when he tries to hold your hand, you punch him right in his ugly face. Ella cracks a smile.
I'll try.
I'm not sure if anything I said really helped Ella, but one detail from our conversation sticks with me. Whatever she hit Cetricus Ra with, I'm sure that it was the result of her developing a new legacy. She charged up that projectile and, somehow, it hurt him. Or at least, distracted him enough that we were able to get our legacies back. Now I just need to convince her to try doing it again. And hopefully figure out exactly what this new legacy can do. If it worked once, maybe it will work again. If I'm going to put together a plan to finally kill Cetricus Ra, I'm going to need every weapon we have at my disposal. I head down to the